May it please Almighty God to bless us together this evening for a few moments. And let's turn to the book of Esther that we read, and just really four words in the fourth chapter and verse 16, and the last four words, or five really. And if I perish, I perish. It's easy for us to read such words like that, isn't it? But let us realize that Esther recognized the situation that she was in. And she'd already spoken and recorded to Mordecai that if anybody came who hadn't been invited and didn't receive the golden scepter being held out to them, there was only one result, that their life would be taken from them. So it was a very testing time for Esther, and indeed a testing time for really the Church of God, a testing time for Mordecai, because here he'd brought up Esther from his uncle, and he'd done this for some time, and obviously she was very close to him, and yet she'd been elevated to the queen, which was really quite an amazing elevation considering her background. But nonetheless, there she was, and faced them with this great difficulty, as Haman had convinced the king that all the Jews were evil people and that they should be destroyed. And in order to encourage the king to agree to that, he said he would give the king 10,000 pieces of silver. Well, what a evil man he was, in desiring to get rid of the Jewish people. And probably he didn't realize that Esther was a Jew, but nonetheless she was, and obviously Mordecai was quite clear in that in his own mind, and he told her quite clearly that she shouldn't think that she could escape. And we're told in this fourth chapter, Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that happened unto him, and of the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasurers for the Jews to destroy them. And he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. Well, Hatak, the chamberlain, came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And then Esther told him to report to Mordecai and to tell him that the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come in unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai, the words of Esther. And Mordecai then responded. And a very striking and a very amazing statement. He tells her, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews." How good that is to realize that we have a situation, and perhaps in our own lives we might think that we might escape some difficulty, we might escape some persecution. Well, Esther was here in that situation, and yet Mordecai told her, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shalt thou enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." And I think these words are very relevant for all of us in our little lives, because the Lord has placed us on this earth at this time, and we're not here to just go around and please ourselves. The whole purpose of our life on this earth is to honour and glorify our God, and to do His will and not do our will. Well, this was a great charge that Mordecai had given to Esther, wasn't it? Not something that she would have grabbed and thought, "Well, this is easy." She knew it wasn't. But he told her quite clearly, "If thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time." You know, we can read that. But sometimes these statements come home to each one of us, because we live in the world today. And we're on this earth today, not yesterday, not tomorrow. And we on this earth today are to do God's will. We are indeed His servants. As I mentioned at the beginning of this service, how encouraging it was to know that the Scottish government turned down that law which was they were so keen to pass. But we're thankful that it wasn't successful. And I believe it wasn't successful because many people prayed to God. Many people sought His mercy. Many people prayed that His name might be lifted up and honoured and glorified. And so it was defeated, that bill, by quite a large majority, considering what had happened on the previous reading. So we should be very thankful to know that we have a God still today who hears and answers our prayers. Sometimes we might think, "Well, I don't think there's any point in praying. I think the opposition is going to be successful." God has the hearts of all men in His hands, and no one can do anything without the divine purpose of Almighty God. And so we have this case of Esther in this very difficult position. And Esther then told them to go and tell Mordecai. Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. And if we read this carefully, we'll recognize the faith that Esther was given. "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king." Now we see the living faith of this woman Esther. "And so will I go in unto the king which is not according to the law. Very clear, she knew it, she's spoken, she told them, and then she makes and states these wonderful words, and if I perish, I perish. What does that mean? It means that she was willing to give up her life in order to do those things which were right and God-honouring. She was willing to perish. Well, what a mercy it is if in our day and age, and we don't know what the future holds for us, individually or as a nation, things are not really very rosy, but what we should be thankful for is that the God of Esther is the same God by God's grace that you and I have today. And therefore we should go in God's strength, not in ours. It's wonderful that word, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of his righteousness, even of his only. What a blessing it is if God gives us that grace to do those things which perhaps appear impossible. Well, to begin with, Esther obviously thought it was impossible. She realized what the laws of the land were, and she reiterated them so that Mordecai and the king's servants would be very aware of what she faced. And yet, Mordecai was given that wisdom to tell her, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. No, we cannot hide. We cannot think that we should escape. Come back to that important consideration. You and I are on this earth at this time, this day, to do those things which God will instruct us in, and not to back away, and not to think, well, that's impossible, I won't be able to do that. He gives more grace. He giveth more grace. He gives strength that we thought perhaps we didn't have. And yet you see how important it is for us to realize, just like in Esther's case, ye are my witnesses. Esther was a witness for God. And you and I today are a witness for God. And we should not, therefore, hide that light. If God has shone into our hearts the glorious light of the gospel, we should bless God for it and desire to show forth his honour and his glory and his praise. We have so much, don't we, to thank God for. And yet how miserable we are. And so selfish we are, because we don't want to have any difficulties, so we lay low and don't say anything. Well, the word of God tells us very clearly, those that honour me, I will honour, and those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. That's not my words, that's God's word. And how vital it is, as you and I are on this earth at this time, to remember we're here in his way, in accordance with his divine purpose, the appointed time for you and me to be on this earth. Not by chance, but God's appointed time. And we're on this earth for that divine purpose, to show forth his praise. Now, naturally speaking, of course, we're cowardly. We don't like to stand out in the crowd. We don't like to speak of the glorious truth of God. We want to live a nice, quiet, and peaceful life. And yet, we should realize God has solemnly and blessedly said, ye are my witnesses. So every true believer comes under that category. And does that weigh heavy sometimes on our heart? As we find ourselves in the world, we find ourselves with our neighbours, perhaps in meetings, and perhaps we're faced with a question, and perhaps we duck the question, and we don't give the right answer. We may think we have, but we haven't really given the answer in accordance with the Word of God. How relevant it is to realise that all of us are sinners, all mankind are sinners, every man, every woman, every child need to be saved. If they're not saved, they'll perish in their sins. And they'll spend eternity in utter and complete misery. I think sometimes we don't really understand what an eternity in hell means. And our minds can't really absorb the truth of God's word. But we do have one or two illustrations which are relatively simple. And we are told, firstly, that hell is a bottomless pit. A bottomless pit. I wonder if you can try and imagine that. If you're pushed into a bottomless pit, what are you going to do? You can't climb out, there's no sides. You carry on falling. And not for a few years. It's not as though you think, well, perhaps tonight it'll be better. Well, there's no night. Because hell is complete darkness. You won't see anybody else. And that's not just for a short time. It's for eternity. Does it not make us tremble to think of a lost soul and how they will spend eternity in a bottomless pit? And also then, we're told, outer darkness. What does that mean? No light. No light. You think at night we wake up sometimes and it's pitch black and we can look forward to the morning and the sun shining. There's no possibility of that if you and I are found in hell itself. We'll just carry on. And there's no days, there's no night, because there's no time in eternity. And yet the Word of God tells us very clearly these things, but naturally we turn away from them. We don't really want to meditate on them because they're too terrible. And we perhaps foolishly think somehow there's a way out. Somehow there's an escape route. Well, the Word of God's very clear. And it tells us the situation. And how important, therefore, it is as you and I ponder these things. And it's good to ponder these things. But on the other hand, and we wouldn't be just negative tonight, we can think on the other hand. Those who are bought with a price, the price of the Redeemer, the blessed shed blood of the Saviour, those who are bought with a price will enjoy eternity in light, total light, no darkness at all, and that's forever. And also, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ will be there himself, and God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. And that which, while we're on earth, we're not able to really comprehend, that will be revealed. What a blessing. What a wonderful future there is for the Church of God. But how necessary it is for us to know that it is well with our soul. Oh, how easily we can settle down in this life, settle down and not really be very concerned about the day of our death. And yet it's the one certain thing that all of us must face. There's no escape. There's no escape. You and I will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. And let us not forget eternity, tremendous sound. No end. No end. Again, you and I can't really understand that, can we? We are creatures of time. But when we pass out of time, we should enter into eternity where there is no time. And how vital it is that you and I possess the grace of God, the unmerited favour, to know that by his grace we are born again of his Spirit, so that it is well with our soul. So in answer to that question, is it well with thy soul? By God's grace to be able to say, it is well. And how important it is that you and I are able to declare that. And we should desire to be able to declare it. And if people ask, and don't ask very often these days, but if they ask a question, are you born again? By the grace of God, you'll be able to answer it. By the grace of God, you'll be able to give a good testimony of what the Lord has done in bringing us to the light of the gospel. I love those words in the second of Ephesians. And you hath he quickened. That means made spiritually alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. There's been a change, an amazing change, a change from darkness to light, from death to life. And what a blessing if, under the wonderful influence of the Spirit of God, we have the evidence that it is well with our soul, and that we are looking forward to the day of our death. People say, well, don't be so morbid. It's not being morbid at all. It's the most blessed time if we are a true believer, because we shall be then eternally happy. And yet, as we travel on through life today, sometimes we're sad, sometimes we're overcome by the cleverness of Satan. Never underestimate the power of Satan. He's very subtle, and he knows what your weakness is. He knows what my weakness is. Probably very different. And yet he homes in on those things who distract us from the things of God. And in distracting us from the things of God, the result is that we look at ourselves and we don't look to the Saviour. Word of God tells us, look unto me, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there is none else. Well, what a mercy if the Holy Spirit has enabled us to look to the Saviour, and in looking to the Saviour, to recognise what he's done, and the cost of our salvation. It's not a little cost, it's an enormous cost. And when you think he died on Calvary's cross to redeem our souls, to pay the price so that our sins might be forever washed away in his precious blood. Peter has those beautiful words, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Don't turn away from such glorious words. My friends, they're vital for you and me to know. that we are redeemed, that we have been born again by the Spirit of God, as the Lord Jesus, when he was on the earth, spoke to Nicodemus very clearly. Nicodemus came and asked him questions, and the Lord Jesus told him, he must be born again. Let us not just carry on, my friends, aimlessly, thinking that somehow or other it's going to be all right in the end. You and I are on praying ground. You and I need to know that it is well with our soul. You and I need to know that the glorious God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into this world with that wonderful and divine object to save our souls, to redeem our souls, so that it is indeed then well with us. Well, we have this example really in Esther. There she was, faced with this difficult situation. And sometimes it's difficult for us in our lives to be honest about the things of God and never pretend to be what you're not. Never pretend to be born again when you're not. What a wonderful thing it is to know that by the grace of God we are saved. Saved with an amazing love, an amazing payment to take away our sins. So essential. Well, here was Esther. Didn't speak quite in those words, but really very similar when she tells us, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. She had a good desire to do that which was right and that which was God honouring. May it be so in our lives. May we desire to truly honour and glorify our God. To sit down sometimes and meditate a little on the cost of our salvation. The cost of our salvation and our response to that cost. And is our response that desire to honour and glorify our God? We'll never be able to do it in hell. The time of salvation will have passed. You and I need to have the blessed evidence of God's grace and God's forgiveness. And God's grace, of course, is free, unmerited favour that God blesses us with. Not something that you and I can merit, but it's something which God freely gives. Free grace. It's a wonderful theme. It's good to think upon it. It's good to meditate upon it. It's good to realise that we never deserved any notice from Almighty God. And yet what a mercy if he has. And he's taken us in hand, and dealt with us, and caused us to cry unto him for mercy. Mercy is welcome news indeed to those who guilty stand. Do you rejoice tonight in the mercy of God? You won't rejoice unless you know your need of it. But if you know your need of it, perhaps you have to pray earnestly that God will show to you that he has loved you with an everlasting love. And that love, my friends, does not diminish. It does not diminish. It's the same yesterday and today and forever. Because we have an unchanging God. We have a God who is so merciful and gracious. And he was to Esther, as we know, having desired and to be given that grace. And she said, I will go into the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Well, that's why we read the first few verses in the fifth chapter Because there we see how Esther went in to the court, went in to seek for mercy, went in to seek that the king would listen to her request. And she wasn't turned away. She wasn't turned away. It's very wonderful, isn't it? And we should rejoice in that. The thing, as we come to Almighty God, by his grace, we won't be turned away. She came, and with the right attitude, the right desire. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favour in his sight. You see, she didn't kind of go boldly in there and demand a blessing. She stood there meekly, it would seem, standing in the court, and that she obtained favour in the sight of the king, who held out to Esther the golden sceptre that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the sceptre. Acceptance with God. What a blessing it is for you and me if God gives us grace to enter in to the holy place, into the court of heaven, with that living desire that God will have mercy upon us, and then to recognize his wonderful love as the king looked upon Esther. And the same, by God's grace, he looks upon unworthy sinners today and causes them to draw near. Draw near as Esther did and touch the top of the scepter. And what did he say? What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be given, even given thee, to the half of the kingdom. Our God, he hasn't changed. He's so kind, so compassionate. We might say so generous when we think of our sin. He looks upon us because he's loved us with an everlasting love. And that was begun in eternity past. Before there was any world in the universe, God knew about us. He knew what he would do, and he would know what our response would be. Well, what a blessing it is for us today if we find rest and peace in the knowledge of our Saviour. My friends, there's no peace outside of knowledge of the Saviour. No, it's all false. But to come and bow down before our God and have come to him with this humble desire and that true concern. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Again, the word of God tells us, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may find help in time of need. That's God's word. May we each grasp it and bless God for it. Well, we'll leave these few remarks there. May God bless his word. Amen.